want to read this verse to you. It's really just been heavy on my heart, and the Lord has just really been bringing me back to this verse a lot this week. With everything that we've done together as a family, as a church, and with the amazing time we've had with Calvary Chapel of Montebello and Poncho and all the servants that have come from California to be a part of this incredible outreach. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God." Father, I pray that you would just speak to us in a mighty way. I am so grateful, Lord, that you have made it possible for us to be children. And that you have even told us that we're to call you Daddy, Abba, Daddy. You're a great father. You're a great shepherd. You're a great king. You're a great savior. You're a great Lord. We owe our lives to you. And it's so wonderful to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Those of us who are believers in Jesus Christ are often given different labels by people. Some call us fundamentalists. Some call us evangelicals. There are some that choose to call Christians by denominational names like Baptists, Methodists, Presbyterians, Protestants. Sometimes we're called Bible thumpers. Sometimes we're called born-againers. Sometimes we're called right-wing fanatics. Wackos, ever been called that? Sometimes we're called Jesus freaks. Sometimes we're just called freaks. It doesn't matter, does it? I like much more the titles, the labels that God gives us in Scripture. God calls us saints. He calls us priests, members of a royal priesthood. In the Bible, we're called the beloved. We're called brethren. We're called pilgrims. We're called the church. And I love all those titles, but by far my favorite title for us as Christians in Scripture is what I just read in 1 John 3:1. Children of God. Isn't that amazing? To me, it's just so wonderful and amazing to think that the living God of heaven and earth has made it possible for me to be a child of His, a son. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, then He has made you a child, a daughter, a son. Think of that intimate relationship, that awesome deal. God has taken ownership of our lives. He's adopted us. He said, "I'll be your dad. I'll be your father." The children of God. Being called the children of God tells us some very neat things. One neat thing about being a child of God is the fact that we've got a great family. In the verse I just read you, it's not singular, it's plural. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. And you remember, even when Jesus taught us how to pray in the Sermon on the Mount, He didn't say, pray like this, "My Father who art in heaven." He told us to pray this way, "Our Father who art in heaven." And so as children of God, we have a great family. If you give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you become a son, you become a daughter, you become a child of God. but you're no longer alone. You get a great big family, a family that extends all over the globe. And it is a wonderful thing to have brothers and sisters in Christ who love you, who care about you. Maybe some are here this morning who came from a very tough family background where you didn't experience love. Well, let me tell you, in the body of Christ, there is true love to enjoy. And there is a wonderful, wonderful friendship and relationship and brotherhood among those who believe in Jesus Christ. Now, without a doubt, this side of heaven, Christians don't always get along, do we? There are arguments from time to time. There are issues that come up among the body of Christ. It's just like any other family. I think my kids love each other. I know they do, but sometimes they don't act like it. Sometimes they get in little family quarrels and stuff. And there is that on this side of heaven among the body of Christ. And we do have to learn how to love one another and take care of one another and all that. But let me tell you, I have found in my life that my brothers and sisters in Christ are there for me when I need them. And I have found love in amazing ways through my family. The family, the body of Christ, brothers and sisters in Christ that God has placed in my life. To be called the children of God says you have been given a wonderful, wonderful family. And I absolutely love the diversity of the family of God. Don't you? Aren't you glad that God hasn't made cookie cutter Christians where he just stamps and we all look alike and talk alike and act alike? No, we're so unique. We're so different. We have different backgrounds and we have different interests and different talents. And it's so wonderful that God can create this wonderful family out of so many people worldwide that are so different. And yet that's what we enjoy. One of my favorite things as a Christian is meeting other Christians, meeting my brothers and sisters in Christ. On some of my travels, as I've been into Europe, or down into Belize, or into Mexico often, there's a lot of times where I'll meet a Christian, a brother or sister in the Lord, who can't speak English, and we just kind of sit there and look at each other. But it's a hug. It's a handshake. There's an understanding there that we share Jesus Christ together, and there's love that's just there, and there's a bond, and there's beauty. We have a wonderful family. One of the best groups that I've met in the last several years as Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ, that I've just grown to love so much, is this church that is called Calvary Chapel Montebello. And I want to thank the Montebello group that's here. They've driven all the way to be a part of this. It has just been such a delight to get to know them. And to serve with them. Many of them after this service are going to get in their car, drive 12 hours back home tonight so they can make work tomorrow morning. And they've just come and served, and they're the ones, boy, I'm starting to smell the burgers already. They're the ones cooking though over there. And they're going to be serving, and just the love of my brothers and sisters in Christ. And then getting to meet Mark Castillo and his wife, and to have Pancho here. It's just this wonderful thing about enjoying our brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Amen. Got just a wonderful family worldwide. Being called the children of God also means this. Check this out. You get an amazing inheritance. In God's family, as one of his children, you have an amazing inheritance coming your way. We know what inheritance means. When moms and dads grow up and they save money for their children after they die, and even us as parents, we save money for our kids, and so they'll have an inheritance after we pass on, and how important it is to do that. Well, let me tell you this. If you are a member of God's family, there is an inheritance saved up for you that's going to blow your mind. God is your father, and he's very, very rich. Our heavenly father is very wealthy. How much does he own, by the way? What's his net worth? What does he own? Everything. Everything on the planet, everything in the universe, all things God owns. I mean, we think Bill Gates is pretty wealthy. Hey, he's small potatoes. Small potatoes compared to God. And if you are a child of God in his family, his inheritance is yours. In fact, listen to what it says in Romans chapter 8. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are a child in the family of God, then you are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And the scripture says that God the Father has given to God the Son all things. Isn't that amazing? You have this incredible inheritance coming your way. God has set up heaven for us. There's mansions in glory. Listen, some of you struggle right now financially. Some of you are having a hard time making ends meet in your life. But let me tell you, as a child of God, you are the richest person on the face of the planet. Don't ever forget it. And don't ever forget that one day you are going to enter heaven and you're going to be given this an amazing inheritance where you reign and rule with Jesus Christ forever. Being a child of God also means, and I love this, this is my favorite, that we have a wonderful heavenly Father. Amen. We have a Father in heaven who loves us so much. He loves us passionately. He's our dad. And in case you've wondered, you don't have to wonder, he's absolutely crazy about you. If you're his son, if you're his daughter, God loves you. In fact, I love how John puts it here in 1 John 3:1. He says, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us." When he says, "Behold," it's like this, you know, stop your life, relax for a minute, check this out. Consider for a minute how much God loves you. It's like, stop, behold, look at it, gape at it, look at it in absolute wonder. As many of you know, we've had a lot of rain this year, haven't we, here in El Paso? And there's been a lot of rainbows. And every time my kids see a rainbow, "Dad, stop, I can be on the highway doing 85 miles an hour, no, 65, excuse me. Just going down the highway and there'll be a rainbow, and my son will say, "Dad, rainbow," and he'll say, "Stop the truck, take a look, look at this fantastic sight." That's the spirit of this verse. Stop everything. Check out the love of God. Check out how much your heavenly Father loves you. And don't ever forget it if you're a child of God. Behold what manner of love. Literally, behold the foreign quality of his love. Behold the higher quality of his love. This verse is telling us that God's love for us is not of this world. God's love for us is of another world. It's an unearthly love. The way that God loves you as a son or a daughter is unmatched by any other love that you can find on this planet. Your heavenly Father loves you more than you as an earthly father love your child. He loves you more than you love your spouse. He loves you more than you love your friends. In other words, his love is peculiar. It's far out. It's foreign It's supernatural. It's divine. And this is how God loves you. Absolutely unconditional. Absolutely self-sacrificial. Absolutely supernatural. Nobody can love you like God loves you. And I am so grateful for the love that I have enjoyed in my life. I came from parents who loved me and they were Christians, and I enjoyed their love. I have a beautiful wife who loves me. I don't know why sometimes, but she does. She loves me. And I have children that love me. And I have friends that love me, and I have brothers and sisters in Christ that love me, and I appreciate all that love, and that's wonderful, but nobody has ever loved me like Jesus. And nobody will ever love you like Jesus. And He does. His love for you is constant, it's steady, it's powerful, it's supernatural, it's wonderful, it's foreign, and you are the object of His love. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. Literally, He's lavished us with His love. It's like He opened up heaven and all of His love got poured out on you. And the word in the Greek language indicates that it's a permanent thing. You have the love of God permanently if you are His child. He'll never stop loving you. You will always be the special object of His love. Oh, what a joy. What a wonderful thing to know. You might be here this morning and you might be doubting God's love for you. Don't. Bible says God demonstrated His own love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were no good, dirty, rotten sinners, He loved us and He made it possible for us to have salvation. You know, it's really amazing that God loves us, isn't it? A lot of times we think, oh, we really like this one person because, or we think this person just has so much love for God, and I hear Christians talk about other Christians like that. Oh, we love that person. He loves God so much. That's awesome. And I appreciate that. But God's lovable, isn't He? He's easy to love. It's harder to love us. And it's amazing that God loves us, takes us just as we are. Oh, to be His child. To be God's child also means this. We've got family chores to do. We've got responsibilities as His children. And you know what our main responsibility is, my brother and sister in Christ? To reflect the love of our Father. To reflect the character of God. Like Father, like Son, like daughter. The Bible puts it this way. We are to be conformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives to become more and more like Jesus Christ. That is, more patient, more loving, more sacrificial. More and more like God. We are to show the love of God to this world. We are to show the character of God to this world. You and I, as His children, are to be about our Father's business. Amen. The verse goes on to say, and I love this, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us. Because we're children of God, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Literally, the world doesn't quite understand us. They don't get us. We're sort of foreign. We're peculiar. We're strange. Because we are becoming more and more like our Father, and our Father's love is foreign, it's strange, it's unique, it's peculiar. And what He wants to do is love other people through you and change you into a person that reflects His character and His glory. And let me tell you, in our society today, if you're a true born-again Christian living the true Christian life, you are going to be an odd fish in this world. You are going to look very strange. A lot of people are not going to understand you. And let me just warn you, there's going to be some people that won't like you. There's going to be some people that you're going to upset. But there's also going to be some people that will be drawn to what you have. They'll see how you live your life. They'll notice the supernatural quality of your life. And they'll be drawn to something. And as they come to you and ask you, what's it all about? You'll be able to point to your Father, to your Heavenly Father, and tell them about the love of God, and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ who came and died on the cross for the sins of the world. Don't forget this. Brother and sister in Christ, it's an amazing thing. You are a child of God. You've been given a great family. You have an amazing inheritance coming your way. You have a Heavenly Father who loves you. And He's given you a responsibility, a purpose, a goal in life to live for Him and to tell others about Him. You might be here this morning and you've never thought about having God as your Father. You've never thought about there being a family of God. There is a true family of God. How do I become a son or a daughter in the family of God? John's gospel tells us, to those who received Him, Jesus, to those who believed on His name, He, God the Father, gave the right to become children of God. The way to become a child of God is to put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. To ask Him to be your Savior. Recognizing that He came and He died on the cross for our sins. And as we were just singing about, think about the love of Christ for you. To leave heaven. To take on a body like ours. And to allow Himself to be butchered on a cross and to take the sins of the world upon Himself and to face the wrath of God on our behalf and to die. But then on the third day to rise again, amen, defeat death. And He's alive today and He's at the right hand of the throne of God. And the Scripture says if you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, ask Him to be your Savior, all your sins go away. All of your sins are forgiven. And those who receive Him become children of God. If you haven't done that yet, you're going to have an opportunity again this morning to do that. Maybe you were here last night even. And there was something that kept you from coming forward. You're going to have an opportunity again to do that. I mentioned a special brother in the Lord who I've just grown to love and appreciate so much. And I just look up to so much. Pastor Poncho, would you come up and close us? Where is he? There he is.
I love him too. Love him much. Let me take this 3 minutes, first of all, to thank Sunland Calvary Chapel for your generosity in allowing us to invade your space, so to speak. But I know that you're homeless anyway, so this will be ideal. What Pastor Terry just mentioned to you right now, I was listening to him very carefully, very intently, and I realized that he shared with you the full gospel. There are some churches that are not sharing the full gospel anymore. Paul calls it the sound word of God. The word sound means hugano in the Greek, which means hygienic. Hygienic means healthy. Healthy doctrine will produce healthy lives. In our own church, in our own city rather, we have 26 churches and we have around three temples. Jewish temple, a Buddhist temple, and a Chinese temple. You would think that with all these churches, you would think that people would be crowded into these churches, and yet they're empty. And we meet in formerly a warehouse. A warehouse. For many years, we had no air conditioning. Cold that on winter and hot. Hot. Like we're talking about 106 degrees in L.A. And we had tin roof. We had cement and metal chairs. And people would come. Just as was going on with Pastor Terry's church. They meet in a... It's not even a tent, man. It's a messed up umbrella. I have to encourage Pastor Terry, man. I said, do you think they're coming for the amenities? They're coming to hear the Word of God. The Word of God. My wife gets upset when I mention that we are the largest church in East L.A. She goes, why do you have to say that? And she's always correcting me because she reminds me that I'm nobody. Yesterday I was talking to her. And right before I came up last night, she said, remember, you're a nobody. I said, shut up, man. Let me be. She reminds me. She says, remember, you were a puking drunkard when Jesus came to your life. And God, through His grace, through His love, through His mercy, He allowed you to speak and proclaim the gospel through you as an evidence that there is a God. And so it is. We have people that come to our church and they want to find out, what are we doing in order for us to have all these many people coming up to our church? They want to find out, is there something you're doing? Could it be the sound system? Could it be that you have special coffee, which is not? It's donated coffee. Sometimes we have U-Man, right? And we have Folgers and we mix it all up. Sometimes we have Mexican coffee and we mix it all up. And they said, dude, this is a good coffee. What is it? It's called mezcla, mix. But it's just coffee. If you say, you know, it's not in the coffee, you know, it's the restrooms, they're clean. That's what it is. No, it's not. It's the parking lot. And they miss it all. Sometimes they want to have an appointment with me and they want to have a meeting with me because they want to talk. Pastor, tell us, what do you do here? I said, have you ever tried teaching the Bible? You see, that's what it's all about. In the first chapter of Galatians, Paul, he says to them, you know, he says, I am very concerned, he said. He says, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. There are people here who want to trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we have said before you, and now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you that you have not received from us, let him be accursed. You see, today, like in my community, there's a deviation of the truth. There's no gospel teaching. They pervert the different gospel with a different God. We are told in 2 Corinthians 11:4 that if he who comes and preaches another Jesus with a different spirit, and having him preaching a different gospel, he says, make sure you do not accept. As I was giving this for my devotion, I was listening to Terry. He told you straight up about the gospel. He loves you. He died for our sins. He was crucified. He was buried. On the third day, he rose again, and he ascended into heaven to sit at the right hand of God, that through him, he may intercede on our behalf while we're living here. He said all that in his devotion this morning. That's the gospel. But there are those who are not teaching the gospel anymore. They have now what we call the feel-good message. You ever heard that feel-good message? Ow! You feel good? I feel good. I'm all right. You all right. We okay? It's okay. I'm okay. You're okay. Everybody's okay. That's the feel-good message. And then you have the positive thinking message. You heard of that one too. We just got to think positive. You got to take the negative and put on the positive. When you wake up in the morning, just think, Lord, I'm going to think positive. Even though everything's negative, I'm just going to be positive. Oh, my car was stolen by some crackheads. I feel positive. You see, that doesn't work. Because you and I can think positive, but we're living in a negative world, right? Everything's against you. We are subculture. We're Christians. We are under the culture. People don't understand us. The gospel changes people. The gospel transforms. And this is the other kind of gospel they're teaching. It's called charismania. Not charisma. Charismania. When you go to these churches and they're not even talking about the word of God. It's just wonderful worship. And they dance and they move. They go up on the aisles. And it's wonderful. I mean, it's wonderful. It's wonderful emotional release. Beautiful music. It is sensational. It's a kumbaya. And everybody is going for half an hour and they worship God. And they worship God for almost an hour and 20 minutes. And then say, now let's have the word of God. In 2 minutes of the word. That was it. So you get excited and you get in your car. You get in your parking lot. You start the car. Wasn't that exciting? Ooh. And then by the time you get out of the church, what was that all about? It's like going to the YMCA. Exercise all you want. And it's exciting, but there's nothing for your soul. It's like being so hungry. And you go to these beautiful barbecue places here in El Paso. And you're so hungry, you can devour the whole cow. And you walk in, and you just say, And then you walk out. And you go, wasn't that a good steak? What steak? We walked, didn't we? We spent an hour there. Yeah, but all we did was smell the food. We didn't consume it. We didn't digest it. We didn't get any protein. In the same way, sadly, there are many churches who are just getting excited through charismania. And then we have the other one. This is the worst one, where they use guilt and shame, where they beat the sheep. You ought to get your life in order. How dare you not inviting someone to come to church? What are you doing for the kingdom of God? You ought to be ashamed of yourself living like this. Listen, Satan does that already. He does a good number on us. We don't need the shepherd to beat the sheep. But some people like to get beat up. That's why they're all messed up. Where are you going? Going to church. For what? I don't want to get beat up. That's not what the church is about. Now, why do people do that? Well, sadly, it's dishonest gain. There are people who are just going after what the Bible calls filthy lucre. Filthy lucre. When I tell somebody I'm a pastor, and they go, they start whistling that song, "We're in the money. Where is the money?" And you know, that's not what it's all about. We live in a community in East Los Angeles. Our church is there, where all these other churches around us, they have what they call third offerings, four offerings in the service, where the pastor can be teaching after they've received the offering, and the pastor will go, "What, Lord?" "Yes, Lord." "Okay. He says, brothers and sisters, the Lord just told me that we have to have another offering right now. How many know what I'm talking about? Amen? Anybody? Hey. And then they have another offering. And sometimes they will not let the congregation go until they put a guilt trip on you. And they say, listen, I know somebody here has $10,000. And God has called you. And you know what? You better give the $10,000. And some poor soul who's there shaking and they're going through some kind of stress. And they put a guilt trip on and someone gets up. Oh, I have a $10,000. Well, you see, there you go. Anybody's going to match it here. And they put a guilt trip on you. And so we opted in our church not to receive an offering. We don't receive an offering. We just have agape boxes. You want to give? Right on. You don't want to give? Right on. God's love is not predicated whether you will give money or not. You cannot buy God's love. He loves the sinner and the wicked. He loves a devoted person that gives a lot. Amen? You can never buy His love. His love is constant. The love for the sinner, the love for the wicked, the love for the ignorant, the love for the devout children of God. His love is always on and constant. You can never buy His love. But we know that after He comes into our heart and He becomes the governor of our heart and will, He is the governor of everything we possess. Naked we came, naked we should go. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But we give willingly because we know what God has given to us. And so this church here, Sunland, is very sweet to my heart. Pastor Terry and his wife to El Paso, Texas. Imagine. What would drive someone to come to El Paso? Only God can do that. He says, look, I'm in. Do I fit in? No, did Jonah fit in Nineveh? Did Philip fit in Samaria? If God called you and God is going to do a wonderful work, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. Others are teaching a perverted gospel for dishonest gain. They're walking in their lusts for filthy lucre, for prominence, for arrogance, power, and authority. Woe to him, we are told in scriptures, for they have gone in the way of Cain. They have run greedily in the error of Balaam for profit, and they perish in the rebellion of Korah. You see, if you have your Bible, let me close with this. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Listen carefully. A word from our sponsor here. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. Paul speaking to Timothy, a young pastor. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at the appearing of his kingdom. Here we go. Preach what? Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. In other words, 24/7. As a pastor, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. Why, Paul? Here it is. For the time will come when they, meaning the public, will not endure healthy doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the what? From the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, man of God, but you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of evangelists, and fulfill your ministry. I want you to know, without a doubt, that I'm not here for any ulterior motive. I have a congregation. I could be there. But I am fulfilling the work of an evangelist. We're on the radio here. And we have a good reception through Pastor Terry. And through others. But there's a special interest in this church. I'm going to see the fulfillment. I was there when he was looking at the cotton gin. He said, sure, I buy it. And I'm a California. I'm from California. You know, the houses are costing like $800,000, $900,000. And he said, how much for the property? And he told me. I said, man, that's a half a house. No problem. But him said, that's a lot of money, man. I said, but think of it. This is unique. A cotton gin. I mean, Calvary Chapels turn bowling alleys. We turn porn shops. We turn auditoriums, marketplaces, theaters into churches, and even warehouses. But nobody has ever turned a cotton gin into a church. Nobody. And so, I know I've done this before. I've been to other churches where they're meeting in parks every single day, or they're meeting in hotels. And I sense something. Being in ministry for almost 27 years, 28 years now, I've seen this. We will one day, Calvary Chapel, Sunland City, will one day will have its fabulous building. It's not going to make, the building's not going to make us. We are the people that make the church. But the amenities, facilities for our children, so we can be safe. We can put a fence around and your children can run amok because of the house of God. That's all we're going to do. Again, thank you so much for allowing me to speak, to be here. Our people here want to serve you. Sunland bought all the meats and we're going to feed everybody. It only going to cost you $5.95. But if you say, I love Jesus, it's free. And so thank you again so much. But I was wondering if I can close it right now by giving an invitation. Let's all stand. Perhaps you're here right now. I don't know. You know, do I really expect people who don't know Jesus to be here at the park at 10 o'clock Sunday morning? I don't know. But perhaps there's some of you here that have never received Jesus Christ. You like Jesus. You love Jesus, but you don't have him in your heart. You have religion, you have culture, but you don't have Jesus in your heart. Today, this will be an opportunity for you to turn yourself to God. Humble yourself. There is no other way. You see, there's a rich man in the Bible by the name of Solomon. He had everything you ever wanted. He had palaces. He had women. He had 1,000 of them. Poor thing, 1,000. I like just one. That's enough. That's enough. But he had 1,000. Actually, he had 300 wives and 700 playthings on the side. He had the corner on silver. He had military power. He had political might. He had credentials. He had everything. And then you read the book of Ecclesiastes, and he says, as he cries out, vanity of vanity of vanity. All is vanity without God. God will fill that void in your heart. As Moy and the gang will sing a song here, maybe there's one, maybe there's two, that you need to receive Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to do something you thought you'll never do. But when you do, you realize it's not about you. It's about God calling you. And God will call you to come up. It's a supernatural phenomena. I cannot make you come. Your pride will prohibit you. But even the power of God is greater than your pride. Give God a chance. If you would like to receive Jesus, you want me to pray for you. I would like for you to step out of your seat, wherever you're at, and come stand here. And I'll lead you in a word of prayer. Whoever you are, young or old, parents, don't withhold the children from receiving the Lord. Very important. So as we sing this song and we close, I would like you to come up if you want to receive the Lord. anybody else. I sense there's more. Perhaps you're afraid and you're freaking out coming by yourself. Maybe you ask the person next to you, friend of yours, would you come up with me? They'll come up with you. But I beg of you, don't let your pride steal salvation from you. You may be an elderly person, and you say, you know, I'm too old for this. Oh, no. Can you imagine what would happen if grandma and grandpa comes to the Lord? The chances are of the whole family coming to Jesus is because of you, grandma and grandpa. I beg of you. If there's anyone here who have not received the Lord, I beg of you, make way and come and make peace with God. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The madness, the hopelessness, the despair, the loneliness, the agitation, the stress, the fear of tomorrow will dissipate because Jesus is the master and the giver of life. I have come to give you life and life abundantly. Jesus said, I did not come to judge you. I did not come to condemn you, but I come to give you life. When Jesus was hanging around with harlots and tax collectors, I don't like the word harlots because it cosmeticizes a word that is to be prostitutes and whores. Can you imagine the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ hanging around and eating and fellowshipping with whores and tax collectors? The religious people went up to Jesus and he says, if you were really the Son of God, you would know what kind of people these are. And Jesus said, I tell you something. When someone is sick, the doctor goes out and seek those people that are sick. He says, the doctor does not go out to heal people that are doing well. He says, the doctor has come to heal those that are sick. You see, not sick physically, but sick of our lives. Sick of our own will and our own methods and our own scheme and our own plans. What we want to do, the Bible says there's a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, forth it brings forth destruction. You've been doing your thing for many years and many years, and then you find yourself that it's a brick wall. And you're hitting your head against it. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Come unto me, all of you that are heavy burdened. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, and I will give you rest for your soul. Rest for the internal man. A man that has been striving. A man inside of you. The real you. You're exhausted. Come to Jesus Christ. Drink of the living water. Eat of the bread of life. Today is the last day for you. And begin it now. Anybody else, quickly. Just make your way right now, whoever you are. There's more, and I beg of you to come. I look at some of your faces, and some of you are smiling, and some of you are praying, but some of your faces are distorted. They're confused. You don't want to come up here because you've been lied to for many years. You're listening to two voices right now. There's one voice that's telling you, you know, that bald-headed guy is right. He's speaking on behalf of God. And there's the other voice that said, oh man, you've been doing your own thing. Don't listen to this, man. This is garbage. But the voice of God, it gets louder and louder. And the intensity of that loudness will convince you. So if you're that person or persons, just step out of your seat quickly, whoever you are. Anybody else? Anybody else? God bless you, sir. Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Wonderful. Those of you that came here, would you please repeat this simple prayer after me? Very simple. Dear Jesus, please forgive me. I repent of all my sin and shame. Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior, as my Redeemer and my friend. Fill me with your Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. Bathe me in your love. Shower me with your grace. And saturate me with your joy. May I do your will and not my will. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Do me a favor. Would you go to the left? They want to give you a Bible. And they just want to talk to you for 5 minutes. Would you please? If the counselors can come up and then usher them back over there. Again, the Lord, thank you. I'm going to have Pastor Terry come up here and bless the food and dismiss you all. Again, on behalf of Calvary Chapel Montebello and our people that are here, we love you. May the Lord just bless you richly. And thank you for your generosity. And thank you, Sunlin, for invading your space. Love you guys.
Let's thank Poncho, please. And the whole Montebello team. And how about Moy? Let's thank Moy being here. You know, I mentioned earlier how it's wonderful to have a family and brothers and sisters in Christ that encourage us. Our church has been greatly encouraged this week by our brothers and sisters from Montebello and by Poncho and by Mark Castillo and his wife and by Moy. And what a pick-me-up, huh? And what a neat thing the Lord is doing. Father, I thank you for the awesome time you've given us. I thank you for the souls that have been touched this weekend. I thank you for the spirits that have been lifted this weekend. May your hand bless Pastor Poncho and Calvary Chapel Montebello. May your hand bless Moy and the band. May your hand be upon your people worldwide in these last days. May we live our lives urgently for you. Bless the food we're going to receive. Bless the fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we get Moy? Can you do one more? Moy's going to play some more for us. Amen.